Praise the Lord. Blessed are those who fear the Lord, who find great delight in His commands. Good will come to those who are generous and lend freely, who conduct their affairs with justice. They have scattered abroad their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we are your people. We're gathered in this place. We name you as our God, our Lord, and we seek to worship you with all that is within us, to give you the very best that we have. Lord, on this day, as we remember our dear friend Jim McClure, we thank you that this was the place that he worshiped you, and we pray that by his example, indeed, for many, many years to come, there'd be more and more people who would come to this place. And just like he did for his entire life, that they would worship you in this place and bring praise to your holy name. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Let us now confess before the Lord our sinfulness using the prayer of confession you'll find in your bulletin. Let us pray. God of all nations and peoples, your love has no boundaries and reaches to all human beings because they are all made in your own image. But instead of allowing you to use us to spread the gospel to all, instead, we have refused to be sent by you on the mission you have designed for us. And we have worked hard on coming up with many excellent excuses for why we should not be sent on that mission. Forgive us for breaking your heart by taking your love for ourselves and then refusing to share it with others. We pray in the name of your Son Jesus, who was sent by you and then chose to send us to. Amen. How do you know if someone really loves you? Did you watch the Super Bowl? Did you watch all the commercials? Do you remember any of them? I know it's been a week now. There was one Super Bowl commercial in particular kind of got my attention because it had four Greek words in it. It shared the four Greek words for love, and number four was the word agape. I mean, that's the word that's used in our New Testament for love. Love in action. We read in the New Testament, God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world. God didn't just say, I love you. God showed it by sending his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. The greatest news I can tell you today is that God loves you, and God has shown it in Jesus Christ. In him we are forgiven. Amen. Children to come forward now for the children's sermon. We have a special treat today. The children's sermon is going to be led by two of our youth, Ryan Catalano, Noel Johnston. As they're coming, why don't you greet someone close by and let them know you're glad to see them today.
Good morning. How are y'all doing this morning? Okay. If y'all don't know us, I'm Noel.
And I'm Ryan.
Do y'all know what holiday is coming up? Yes, exactly.
Exactly, Valentine's Day. And Valentine's Day is a great day to tell people that you love them.
First, we're going to teach you a really cool way to say I love you in sign language, okay? So we're going to stick out our fist. Y'all do it with us.
And then stick out your thumb like this.
And then stick up your first finger, your pointer finger.
And then stick up
your pinky. That means I love you in sign language. So maybe you can practice that today and you can do that to someone that you love. What are some other ways that we can tell or show people that we love them?
Maybe you can give somebody that you love a hug or maybe make them a card that says, I love you.
I don't know about y'all, but when we were kids in school, we used to make Valentines, and we used to give them to people in our class and stuff, and they would say stuff like this.
Can y'all tell us what this says?
What is that? Close. What can y'all? It's exactly. I love you, and.
Giving people cards was a simple way to show our classmates that we cared about them. As we've learned, there are so many ways we can show and tell people how much we love them.
So we're going to send y'all off with some scripture cards. These have just several different words from the Bible on them, and we want you to give them to people that you love or you think need love on Valentine's Day, and... Or you can give them to people that you're really close to. Valentine's Day is just a really good time to show people how much you care about them. Like God showed his love to us by giving his only son, Jesus. And it's super important to show and spread love to others like God has showed his love to us.
All right, can everyone make praying hands now? I'm going to pray and y'all can listen. Dear God, on this Sunday, help us to remember the true meaning of love and help us to see all the love you give. Also help us spread love and happiness around the community as well as the world with your word. Amen.
Y'all can head off to Children's Church or you can go and sit with your families.
For those of you visiting with us, we have been in the midst of a sermon series answering the question, why are we here? We talked about how we need to first look up and worship God, secondly, look down and dig into God's word, third, look out and care for each other, for one another, fourth, look in and grow in our faith in Christ, and then today, the last one, look around. Now, when I said look out, I meant out among the people in the congregation, in our church. Now we're looking around outside the congregation as we share Jesus' love outside the church. So look with me now to our scripture lessons in Matthew's gospel, Matthew 25 and Matthew 28. Let's bow before the Lord now as we prepare to hear God's word together. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we stop right now and confess to you that we need your help. We need your help to pay attention, to listen to your word, to receive it into our hearts, not just to hear it and then forget it. So, Lord, by the power of your spirit, we pray that you would let your word sink down deep into our hearts, that it might find a place that it would be at home in our hearts. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. Look with me then at Matthew chapter 25, beginning with verse 31. Listen carefully, for this is God's word to us. When the Son of Man, that was Jesus' favorite title for himself, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Then he'll say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me." They also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?" He will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. And then turn a few pages over to the end of Matthew's gospel, Matthew chapter 28. By this time, Jesus has been crucified, buried, risen from the dead, appeared to his disciples a number of times. He's getting ready to leave. Verse 16 of Matthew 28. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. Picture this scene with me. You are in a courtroom. Because you're not a lawyer, judge, or bailiff, you're not accustomed to being seated in a courtroom. Things seem strange. You feel a little anxious. To add to your anxiety, the reason you're here in the courtroom is that you are on trial. Evidence will be presented in the courtroom for you and against you. What is the issue? The issue is whether or not you are a Christian. And so evidence is brought forward along the lines of what we've been talking about in the sermon series, Why Are We Here? First, looking up to God, we worship. Evidence is brought. Now, we can't tell. I can't look at you this morning and tell whether or not you are worshiping. I can't see inside your heart. So all we can do is measure that by your attendance, whether or not you attended church and how often you attended. Then looking down, we dig into God's word. Well, I don't know about that either, but I know if you come to church, you at least hear God's word. Then what about looking out at others? We can record your participation in church activities beyond worship, if there is any. What about looking in and growing in our faith in Christ? Well, that's hard to measure, so maybe the lawyer will just skip over that one. But then we come to this one, looking around, sharing Jesus' love outside the church. Suppose all the other evidence up to this point has been in your favor, but at this point your lawyer just coughs, clears her throat, looks back and forth, and sits down. Suppose the prosecuting attorney hammers away at the fact that there is not one shred of evidence that you ever spoke of your faith outside of this church building, or ever gave 1 minute of your time or one dime to help the poor of this community. What would the verdict be? Now, that's a hypothetical, of course, but I paint that picture to show you that no matter how much we come to church and sing and pray and smile and greet, and there is more to following Christ than just that. And Jesus reminds us of that in this very pointed story in Matthew 25 at the end of Jesus' ministry as he tells this story about the sheep and the goats. Now, even today in the Middle East, sheep and goats may graze together during the day, but they need to be separated at night because the goats need more warmth than the sheep. Or maybe they need to be separated when the time comes that the goats are milked and the sheep are sheared. It's often difficult to tell them apart. I put a picture in your bulletin of sheep and goats that, of course, is up close. But from a distance, sometimes it's hard to tell them apart. But the Son of Man, the King seated on the throne, can tell the difference. So who are the sheep? Jesus says they're blessed by the Father. That is, they're in the position of receiving God's grace. It's not that they are better than, they're just blessed by the Father. They're about to fully inherit the kingdom of God prepared for them. And what have they done to demonstrate that they are sheep? It's very clear, go back and read it, in Matthew 25, it's very clear there's six things that he mentions, okay? And they're obvious, but listen to them. Number one, they fed the hungry. It's a kind act and a needed one in our world where the majority of the people in our world live with hunger every day. Now, that is so far removed from our experience, but it is the experience of so many people, not just in far-flung continents, but in Alamance County. So they fed the hungry. Number two, they gave drink to the thirsty. Have you ever really been thirsty? And how wonderful it is to have a drink. They gave drink to the thirsty. Third, they welcomed the stranger. Strangers were especially vulnerable in first century Palestine where there were no hotels. And so when you traveled, you needed to know family, extended family. You needed to have some way to be able to, maybe you just sleep under the stars, but you get to a city or town and how wonderful it would be to be welcomed. So they welcome the stranger. Fourth, they clothe the naked. Nakedness indicated poverty and inability to buy clothes, and they gave clothes to those who needed them. Number five, they took care of the sick, either with minimal medical skills or just showing love. I don't know, you're sick. I don't know how to make you better, but I'm just going to sit here with you and help you and let you know that somebody cares about you. Number six, they visited the prisoners. In the first century, the idea of treating prisoners as ordinary human beings was a novel one. They treated prisoners as less than human, and so Jesus said, my followers visited the prisoners. But did you notice in the story, Jesus mentions these six things, and did you notice that both groups are surprised at Jesus' judgment? Makes me wonder about when it's my turn, when it's your turn to stand before Jesus. Will there be an element of surprise? They were both surprised. Lord, when did we didn't know you were in need. And you said, I helped you. I don't remember helping you. I don't remember seeing you in need. And of course, Jesus' answer is, whatever you did for the least of these, those who were most in need, those who were most vulnerable, those who needed help, whatever you did for them, You didn't know it. You didn't see my face. But you were actually doing that for me. And whatever you didn't do for them, that's the same way you were treating me. You know, in the 20th century, the last century, there was a tendency in lots of churches to kind of divide into kind of two separate lines. I'm painting with broad brush strokes, but you'll get the point. There were those who were kind of a little more along the more liberal tradition who talked a lot about social justice, putting emphasis on social action and getting involved and helping. Then there were those kind of a little bit among the more conservative bent who looked upon that as the social gospel and said, no, yes, it's okay to help the poor, but we really need to tell them about Jesus and tell them about coming to faith in Jesus. But you know, as I read the Bible, I don't think going to either one of those is the only answer. I think we need both. Both are in the Bible. James chapter 1, verse 27. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God, the Father, is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Or 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. We know love, talking about love, Valentine's. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us. And he did that for us. What should we do? We ought to lay down our lives for one another. And he asked this pointed question: how does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and refuses to help? Little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action. You cannot be a Christian. You cannot be the kind of Christian that Jesus has called you to be without showing love outside these walls. You cannot be the follower of Jesus that he's called you to be if you do not care about the least of these, my brothers and sisters. And yet it is so easy for us, let's admit it, it's so easy for us to only be concerned about ourselves and our needs. So easy to forget those who are the most vulnerable. I was reminded of this just yesterday. I had seen this book, but was reading about it. A new book that was written by Rachel Denhollander. The title of the book is, What is a Girl Worth? How do you answer that? What's a girl worth? The subtitle, My Story of Breaking the Silence and Exposing the Truth About Larry Nassar and USA Gymnastics. He was the gymnastics coach who was convicted of sexually abusing young gymnasts under the guise of treating them for sports-related injuries. And Rachel was abused beginning at age 15. She said she wrote this book trusting the light to shine in shadowy places, especially the ones that she knows and loves best. And these are the two places that are most special to her: the church and the gym, where she worked out and prepared, and the church where she worshiped God. Victims of abuse are often asked, why didn't you say something sooner? Well, she did. She told her mom about it right after it happened, but because that coach was so famous, so well thought of, they felt like they didn't stand a chance. But in time, her story came out and other stories came out. Now, I had read about that part of her story. What I didn't know about was the rest of her story, that at age 7, she was sexually abused by a member of her own church. Age 7. Too young to have words for what happened, She was saved from further abuse by the sharp eyes of her mother, who noticed that her daughter was avoiding a young man who had formerly been close to the family. And so then her mother moved to protect her daughter from this young man in the church. And the church responded by putting the family out of the church. Rachel wrote, "As I lay in bed the night after this young man abused me, I remembered the time I'd found out why we'd lost our church and had begun to recognize how too many churches treat sexual abuse. The unwillingness to believe, the refusal to engage with experts, the denigration of those who do, hushed secrecy to preserve the pristine image of the gospel when justice would demonstrate the love of Christ much better." I just lift up her example as just one more story of one of the least of these, a child. How are we going to respond to those who have the greatest needs? How are we going to respond to those who are the most vulnerable among us or in our community? If we're going to follow Jesus, we need to be there for them. We need to help them in whatever form that help takes. We need to share Jesus' love, not just in this building, but outside this building, everywhere we go. What about us? Are we willing to do that? When somebody new comes to this church, are you willing to reach out and greet them? Are you willing to get up and say, "Here, sit here"? Never mind that my family and I have sat here for 50 years. You don't have to say that, of course, but you can be thinking that. Never mind that this is not my seat. It's a seat for anybody who wants to come and worship God. And I want to make a place for you. Because you know what, friends? If we don't have that attitude, if we're, you know, we know everybody here. I'm kind of satisfied with this group. I don't want anybody new coming. I got to learn new names and new needs. And it's just too confusing. Let's just keep it to us. And one by one, we die off. And thus is the end of the church. No, we need to always be willing to welcome the stranger. And not just those who come to us. We have to go out to them. Maybe we need to find new ways that we can go out and visit those in prison, clothe those who need, feed those who are hungry, give drink to those who are thirsty. Just remember, Jesus said, as much as you've done it to them, maybe you didn't even know what you were doing. Maybe you weren't even thinking about me, but when you do it for them, you do it for me. May we be willing to feed Jesus and clothe Jesus wherever we find him and no matter what he looks like. Let us pray. Oh Lord, part of what the church is called to do, to be the church, is not just to take your love as a wonderful gift and rejoice in that gift, but also to share it. And sometimes, Lord, it means sharing it in messy places, places that maybe we'd rather not go. But Lord, we pray this day that you'd give us the courage, the boldness, the power of your Spirit to open our hearts, to welcome strangers, and then to go out and show your love to those who are in need. Lord, we don't have to do it with a lot of fanfare. We don't have to call attention to ourselves. We just have to go find Jesus wherever he is. Let me find him. Let me help him. Problem is, many times we don't know who you are. Maybe we don't even really want to help you because it's places that you'd call us to go there, we're just not comfortable with. Help us, Lord, to get over our comfort zones, to challenge ourselves, even in small ways, to break the mold and reach out and share your love. Lord, we think especially this morning about the many that we mentioned on our prayer list, as well as those that are on the list that we didn't even mention. So many needs. We pray that you'd be especially near each one. Lord, our hearts break when we see those that we love in need. We know that you feel the same way, so we pray that you use us to reach out and share your love to them as well. For Lord, we make this prayer and all our prayers through Jesus Christ, our Savior, praying together as he taught his followers to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I invite you now to affirm your Christian faith using this portion of the brief statement of faith. Let us stand together as you're able and say what we believe. In life and death, we belong to God. Through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit, we trust in the one triune God, the Holy One of Israel, whom alone we worship and serve. We trust in Jesus Christ, fully human, fully God. Jesus proclaimed the reign of God, preaching good news to the poor and release to the captives, teaching by word and deed, and blessing the children, healing the sick, and binding up the brokenhearted, eating with outcasts, forgiving sinners, and calling all to repent and believe the gospel. Amen. Please be seated. Let us now respond to God's love in our lives through the gifts that we present to God's glory. Lord, we thank you and praise you that even when we were your enemies, even when we were a stranger, you welcomed us. So, Lord, help us that love of yours to work in our hearts and change us into people who are willing to welcome others and to show your love and not just to say it, but to put it into action. Lord, these gifts that we present to you today are actions, placing this money in the offering plate and saying, Lord, this is a sign that I love you and want to live for you and respond to your grace at work in my life. We pray through Jesus our Savior. Amen. Senior singles, remember that there's a lunch waiting for you downstairs in the fellowship hall. So it's provided by our youth for you. It's a sign of love. So we invite you to make your way down there immediately following worship. This past week, I heard from Bill Stockard, emailed me a benediction that was used in a church that he and Eva went to. It's a song. I'm not going to sing it for you. I don't even know the tune, but I'm going to share the words with you, and thank you, Bill, for sharing with me. As you go, remember these things. In His goodness, you were born into life. In His grace, you've been held every hour of the day. And in His love, you're being redeemed. Praise His name for all He has done. Praise His name for He has only begun. He's working inside you to make you complete every day, evermore like His Son. Glory to God be now and forever. Amen.